Please take your seats. School is now in session.
Welcome to Homeschooled Podcast.
Homeschooled.
The Homeschooled Podcast. Why? Because he was homeschooled.
It's time to document the journey.
Welcome back to Homeschool Podcast. I'm Augustino Zoida. It's great to guys have you guys back with us. We know you got a lot of options out there for podcasts. So, hey, anybody that's tuning in, we really appreciate you. I want to welcome to the show for the first time, and I haven't seen this dude in so long. We used to work together a lot back in the day. Rico Parrish is here, everybody.
It is me. I like how you would... podcast voice, like we were talking before this, and your voice wasn't like that, and then you turned on a podcast voice, so I like that.
I got a podcast voice too.
Hey everybody, it's Rico Parrish. Yeah,
you know comics all have a comedy voice too.
That's great.
You know, when you first go, like you and I will be talking normal, and then you go on stage and we're like, hey, how's everybody doing? Like, you know, all of a sudden we got like an accent or something.
Like, who's that guy that I was just talking to?
Well, welcome to the show, dude.
What's going on, man? How's that?
Well, really quick,
I'm happy for you, man. Go ahead.
Sorry. Yeah, let me do a little plugs here. First of all, I just want to thank everybody who came out to the shows last week. I did a little run in Portland, Oregon, and then Seattle. So if you guys are at those shows, I really appreciate you coming out. And if you want to see me live, go to homeschoolpod.com. Click on tour. And here's what I got coming up. I'm in Las Vegas, August 2nd through the 8th. I'm doing the whole week at the Stratosphere. And then after that, August 12th, I'm back in Paso Robles. August 14th, I'm in Boston, Massachusetts. So I'm pretty busy in August. So guys, lots of opportunities to see me. Once again, it's homeschoolpod.com. Click on tour. And then while you're on the website anyway, click on merch and check out the t-shirts that we have to offer. The best way to support the show is by picking up a t-shirt. And, you know, we have all the ex-president's logo is on there. We got the Document the Journey one. Those are pretty cool. And my new one's one of my favorites. It's The Only Love Can Save the World, which is named after my tour this year. And if you get those shirts, all the money goes to help pay for flights for the comics that I take to open for me, because places don't pay for that anymore, including my own. So it's super helpful if you guys could do that. Once again, that's homeschoolpod.com. Click on merch. I feel super self-conscious because I haven't got a haircut in like a couple of weeks. I just got back on the road.
Pretend like it's the pandemic. Hey, LA shut back down anyway, so just people don't know.
Yeah, we're shutting back down again.
So wait, you have all the ex-presidents... t-shirts, what is that?
So my first ever logo for the podcast was it's called the ex-presidents. It's the logo. It's like, it was me and my co-host Kevin Lyons, who we were both wearing like the Ronald Reagan and Nixon mask, but it's like kind of animated. Okay. It's like real California looking, like after Point Break the movie.
Yeah.
And it says like homeschool pod. It's pretty cool.
Not the new Point Break, because that one never happened. You're talking about the old Point Break.
Yeah.
The new one didn't. Point Break is such a great movie, man.
So good. I just watched it last week.
I love that movie. I love the ending is so great. He's not coming back,
dude. It's the best. That whole movie is fantastic, dude. There's so many quotable lines.
Johnny Utah. That was a good movie.
Bodie.
Yeah, man.
You know that was directed by a woman.
You said that as if you. You know that was directed by a woman?
I don't... How did it sound? Because I didn't mean... You know what's screwed up is that I didn't even know her name. I forgot her name. But the only reason I said that is because when I first read that, I was a little surprised because it's like a very guy movie.
It is. No, I do understand. Without getting us in trouble, I understand what you mean 100%.
Yeah, I didn't mean... Like, can you believe a woman did something good? I didn't mean it like that.
A woman directed a movie, bro? Like, yeah. And it wasn't about...
Because every dude is like loves that movie. Every guy loves that movie. And
I mean, it's such a cheesy, great movie.
Yeah,
like
great.
It's a bad movie, but it's fantastic at the same time. I think we should one day. I'm going to put together our top 10 bad but great movies.
That's probably a great list. We should get you back on again just to do that, and we'll have Kevin here. Kevin's my co-host, who's never here. He was like the original co-host of this podcast, but he got so busy. Like he's a filmmaker, and then also he went back to school. So it's like whenever he's available, he co-hosts. But he's like a big movie buff, dude. And that's the type of shit he's into, is bad movies that he wants to force you to watch, and it's still great.
Oh, yeah. See, I love that. Like, it's very rare that I take movie advice from people or, like, suggestions, because people have horrible movie taste.
I know.
So I give everybody one movie, and if I hate the movie, then I'll never take a suggestion from you again.
That's how you got to do it. What have you seen lately that you like?
I'm a big movie. Well, with the baby, I haven't really. So I saw Black Widow was just, it was a movie. It was good.
I liked it because I was expecting, I didn't have that high expectation, so I liked it. I think you froze.
Yeah, oh. I thought Black Widow was good. I did. I froze for a second. Can you see me now?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Yeah, I got
and
you.
Then I watched Space Jam.
How was that?
Did you see the new Space Jam yet?
No, I didn't.
You know what? Here's the thing. Is I hear people talking about how bad it is, but guys, the co-star is a cartoon bunny. Like, what are we expecting here? We're not expecting...
Yeah, and then the other co-star is a basketball player who's never acted in his life.
Yeah, like, guys, we're not expecting a fucking 12 Angry Men out here. Like, what are we doing? Like, it's just, like, just, can people just have, I think we've gotten to a point where criticizing is the new thing. Like, everybody just hates everything just for the sake
of everybody's a critic.
Just enjoy anything anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Just be entertained for, life is so fucked up. Just be entertained for a minute and 47 seconds. Hour and 47 minutes. Yeah. Like, what are we doing?
Dude, Yelp is what ruined the game. Everybody became a critic. And then, and then Rotten Tomato. By the way, like, I don't even, I have a system with movies. Like, I go on Rotten Tomato and I look at both scores, the critics and the audience. And then I kind of make my own judgment based off of their history. The critics always get it wrong. Like, always get it wrong. And the audience gets it not always right, but they're closer.
Yeah. Have you ever read a critic's review?
Yeah.
They just, some of the stuff they say, you can just tell they're just trying to be the smartest person in the room and sound really, really clever the way they critique a movie, because they don't watch, like, for me, when I watch a movie, I just want to be entertained. That's
it. Yeah.
Everything's going to have a plot hole, unless it's just completely, like, ridiculous. But, like, at the end of the day, you just want to be entertained. So I don't really go into all the hoopla that these critics go into. Yeah. I don't, it's not even that serious to me.
That's so funny you said that, because I just watched, I think Saturday, I just watched Lighthouse. Did you hear about Lighthouse?
I have heard it. I have not seen it.
Okay, so it's on Prime. It's with Robert Pattinson and William Dafoe. And it's black and white. It's just the two of them in the lighthouse. I have heard nothing but great things about this movie, okay? Mm-hmm. And I went and watched it, and I think that you're right. I think people just like to sound smart, and I think people like to say they like artsy things so that they seem like they like artsy things. And listen, I like artsy things too, but it also has to be good.
Correct. People just like to, they just want to sound different and be contrarian. When, like, that, like, for example, Oscars, right?
Yeah.
None of the movies that we like usually are ever nominated for Oscars.
Yeah.
Like,
and if they are, they don't win.
They don't win. Like, I get it. Like, Best Picture, you want to have some of the, like, it does. It takes a lot to be able to immerse yourself into a character that was in 1647 Britain. But I don't give a fuck. That's not entertaining to me.
Yeah.
Like, the average person doesn't care about these type of movies, which is why I think the Oscars itself has lost so much viewership, because it's a bunch of stuff that we don't care about.
Yeah, it's a popularity contest. It's like them trying to be politically correct. Like, they'll give literally every movie a win. Like, you'll get the script, you'll get the actor, you'll get the supporting actor, you'll get the best picture, just so no one gets mad. It's like everyone walks away with something.
Yeah.
It's so political. But it's never a movie you'll ever watch again. Have you noticed that?
Never. Now they have 10 best pictures, and I literally have not, I would go through and then not seen one of the movies.
Yeah.
Like, we used to go to the movies every week. We'd go every Sunday. And how can I not see one of the movies nominated for best picture?
Mm-hmm.
That to me says more about the Oscars than it does about me, because I like all types of movies.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. Dude, Yeah, totally, man. It's like, I mean, a lot of the Oscar stuff were Netflix. I'm not talking 2020 because that was a difficult year, but 2019, everything was Netflix, and the Netflix movies that were nominated were garbage, bro. They were terrible. It's just all politics, man. But it's like, you know,
everything has turned. Yeah, you're right. It's turned into politics, and who have you greased in order to get your movie nominated, or how many asses have you kissed to get your movie nominated?
Yeah. I think the best movie of 2019 was, and it actually was nominated, but it didn't win, was Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
So that I haven't seen because it's like 3 hours long.
It is like 3 hours long, but can I tell you something? It goes by quick, and if I could, I'd watch it twice in one day. did the screen freeze, or was that you?
You told me a three-hour movie goes by quick. Yeah, the screen froze, but it was apropos because your screen tried to shut you up. I like how you told me a three-hour movie. Oh, dude, it's only 3 hours. It goes by quick. What?
It does go by quick. Like, you don't feel it. You know what I mean? You don't feel it's a long movie.
That is equivalent to people in Arizona and Phoenix saying 120 isn't hot because it's a dry heat.
No, it's not.
Three-hour movie going by fast is the dry heat of movie time.
No. If you were in that 120 degree dry heat for 3 hours, it'll feel like 8 hours. But if it's 72, that 3 hours is gonna feel like 2.5.
Every day, me and my wife look for something to watch, and every third day we say Ford vs. Ferrari. We say Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and we'll look at each other. 247? Nah.
Hilarious. I love it.
Like, literally, we have almost watched that movie about 14 times.
Because I know what you mean. That's why it's so funny for me. Because, okay, so have you ever been like, you know, we're going to watch a movie tonight, right? You and your wife. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You're like, tonight's the night. We're going to put the baby to bed, and you and I, it's movie night. And then the time comes, and you're like, so what are we going to watch? And then you end up spending like a half an hour to an hour just searching on this. Searching, and by the time you find something, you're like, well, it's already 9:30, so we need to watch something shorter than this. So, okay. I have a solution.
Give it to me.
This is what we do. I bought a dry erase board that is also a magnet. It's about this big. It's like that big. Mm-hmm. I put it on the fridge, okay? And every time I think of a movie that I want to watch, I write it on the fridge. Like, because throughout the day, when you're not in the mood to watch a movie or when you don't have time, you'll think of the movie, but you won't remember it later. So you just write it down. Like, she wants to watch something. She heard something was good. She puts it on the list. Same with you. And then when it's time to watch a movie, you just check the list. You just go like, boom. And then you narrow it down. You want to watch this, this, or this.
So here's that. It sounds great. So here's our problem.
Yeah.
See, when you have a baby, right, and you look at the clock, and it's like 8:30, and you're like, well, we got to go to bed in 2 hours, so what are we going to do here?
Yeah.
She goes to sleep at 10:30. So, and I don't want to break up a movie, right? Like, I wouldn't want to watch half of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and then check back the next day because there have been times that we've done that and not watched the second half.
Okay. I was going to ask you that next because I keep wanting to say I want to ask you guys, but I mean you and Grace. Okay. I want to ask you guys. Because during the pandemic, we all had to get used to watching stuff at home. I love going to the theater. But, you know, we had to do what we had to do, and we were still fortunate enough to have some new releases that we could watch from home. And I feel like there's good things and there's bad things to watching something at home. You're like, hey, I'm in the comfort of my own home. It's cheaper to buy snacks. It's cheaper to buy drinks. You know what I mean? There's things like that. If you want to go to the bathroom, you can pause it. You know, the baby wakes up, you can pause it. You don't have to get a sitter. Like, there's good things to it. But also, I feel like you said, like, pausing it and then coming back tomorrow, it's not the same, you know?
It's not the same at all. I tell you, like, so when Grace and I first started dating, and you remember this, when I first started at the HaHa, I was there Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
So yeah, pretty much.
Like, Thursday, both shows, Friday, bullshit. Like, it was, so then the only time Grace and I could hang out was Sunday, and so we'd go to the movie every Sunday because I would be so tired I wouldn't want to do like be out and about because I'm like, yo, I gotta rest because I gotta go to work tomorrow. So we went to a movie every single Sunday. We'd go to a movie, so it became our thing.
Yeah.
So movies, like, so I actually miss the movie experience, like going to the theater, We go to the La Cañada with the big chairs, the lean back, and you get the popcorn. And like, I actually miss that aspect of
it. Me too, dude.
And I can't even think of the next time I'll actually even be able to go to a movie, right, with a baby. Like,
so you have
it. Yeah, you get a titter. No, I haven't gone to a movie. We haven't gone to a movie yet. I don't know. And now, especially considering the fact that they're releasing the movies at the same time on, like, Disney Plus or HBO Max as in the theater. So you pay $30 for the movie, but you can watch it at home, like you said.
Yeah.
But then you own the movie.
Right.
So yeah, it's like, I'm going to spend $30 to go to the theater anyway.
Financially, it makes sense too, especially if there's more of you in the house.
Yes. But I do miss like the big screen and the sound and just go. I actually miss that part of it.
Your Wi-Fi was doing something weird. We heard some monster sounds for a second, but I got what you were saying. Yeah, dude, I actually went to the theater a couple times in the middle of the pandemic. So Orange County for a minute was open.
Yeah, oh, they were thick in it. They didn't care about it. Yeah.
And bro, I drove to the Irvine Spectrum.
And that's a good theater too.
It's a good theater. And that's, I watched Tenet.
How did you like Tenet?
I did like Tenet. It's not Christopher Nolan's best, and it was a little difficult to follow. For me, like, normally, that's not a thing. I don't have a problem following movies, and some people have said that before, like about Inception, for example. I have no problem following it, but this, to me, was a little hard to follow, and I did watch it again recently on an airplane, and I did pick up some things that I had missed the first time, but it's good. It's just not great, and it's not his best.
You know, that's interesting, because oftentimes I make the mistake of not seeing a movie when people say it was hard to follow, but I don't have a problem following movies, so I don't know why I
listen
to the people who, I haven't seen him, because you bring up Inception. I have yet to see it because people say it's so hard to follow, but dude, I'm like, I never have a hard time follow movies, so why
Inception is fun. I'm a little jealous of you that you've never seen it, because I wish I was gonna watch it for my first time. Like, it, dude, that's one of my favorite films. It's so good, bro.
All I know is that the screen bends and all types of tricks and stuff. Like, they're in some dream sequence, something, doing some stuff.
Well, that's why I like the DVDs, because it'll show you, like, the making of, and afterward you can see how they got all the shots and stuff. It's crazy. Like, there's a scene with them.
I love DVDs with, like, that.
That's why I love DVDs rather than streaming. That's one of the reasons. But yeah, there's a scene with Joseph Gordon-Levitt where he's fighting with no gravity. He's fighting this dude with no gravity, and you can see, like, them. It's like, how did they actually do that? And then they tell you afterward that they actually had a room made that looked like the hallway that they were fighting in, and they rotated it as they really had, the actors really had a fight in this rotating room.
Yeah, Nolan's badass, man.
He's so good. But yeah, so did you see Tenet?
No, I did not.
It's more hard to follow than Inception. See, I don't have a hard time following movies, but that one I did. But then again, it's like every movie, if you watch it the second time, you're going to find things you missed the first time. So that's another good reason to have it.
Yeah, right. But like I said, like we're like, what time is it right now? I don't even know what time it is.
It is 9.
It's
9:05.
9, right? So, like, we couldn't even start a movie because we'd both probably be knocked out by the time the movie. So what we end up doing, like you said, is we'll go through, we'll watch a bunch of previews for movies, and we'll end up watching them, and we'll turn on Bob's Burgers and watch Bob's Burgers.
Seriously? I've never seen that show.
Dude, you see my shirt? I got Teddy from Bob's Burgers on my shirt.
Hilarious. I've never seen it.
Wait, you've never seen Bob's Burgers?
Not one episode.
Dude, what are you doing, man?
Where can you watch it?
It's the greatest cartoon. Hulu? You have Hulu?
Yeah, it's on Hulu.
It's on Hulu.
How long has it been out?
Probably about, what, there's like 12 seasons?
Is it really?
Yeah. Dude, it's good, man. Wait, because it's... Listen, I know this is going to sound like blasphemy, your listeners are going to probably be like, what is this guy talking about? But it's better than The Simpsons and Family Guy, man.
Stop it. Really?
Yeah, man. It's good.
Well, I'm going to have to check
it out. Family Guy Family Guy, like, took it to another level with, like, the cutaways. They had their own little niche, like, with the cutaways and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So Family Guy was good, but I think, and maybe I'm just, I haven't really sat down with Family Guy in a while, but, man, Bob's Burgers is really good, man.
Okay, I'm going to have to check it out. I'm not opposed to trying it. We're looking for a new, like you said, like sometimes when it's too late to start a movie, you just end up watching a show. We're always looking for new shows to watch because some shows are like an hour. We're looking for like a good hour show because I ain't got 2 hours, but I got one. You know what I mean?
Right.
We just so finished.
What else we watch that's an hour? What have you been watching?
So we just finished Lupin, which is spelled Lupin on Netflix.
Oh, that's the French show, right?
Yeah.
So I heard with the black guy, right?
Yeah. I forget his name. It's a short name.
Yeah, so is it good?
It's good, man. I was opposed at first because it's French. It was filmed.
Because it was a black guy?
No. Because it was a French black guy.
The main character was a black guy.
No. And the dude is a good actor, which is why I was so kind of annoyed at first because I'm like, because it's dubbed. So Netflix dubbed it. It's a Netflix original in France. So it was originally recorded in French, and you just know the actor is good. You just know, but like right. The dubbed voice doesn't quite fit. But you know what I do, bro? I think it's I've seen many doctors over the past several years. I always go for my exams and stuff like that. My hearing's getting bad. And the doctors tell me, and particularly in my right ear, for a year I was deaf in my right ear, had all kinds of treatments and stuff like that. The doctors told me because I yell on stage, and that's probably what it is. But anyway, I watch everything with subtitles now.
We do too.
Yeah, right? Because you miss so much without it.
You miss so much.
Yeah.
I have fantastic hearing because I can't see for shit. Like, I'm considered legally blind without my contacts. I don't know if you knew that.
I did not know that.
I can't. Yeah. Like, without my contacts, I'm considered legally blind. So my hearing is fantastic. Like, you gotta, every time I go in somebody's house, I'm like, why is the TV so loud? They're like, it's on 8. I'm like, turn it down. Like,
You're like a bat.
Yeah. But yeah, we watch this, we have the subtitles on all the time, on everything.
I got into
so many lines and so many things that you miss.
Right. And I was able to get through Lupin, which is, we can just say Lupin. I was able to get through the dubbed portion of it because you spend a lot of time reading rather than paying attention to the lips moving. But it is really good. It's 2 seasons and we watched them. Oh, we binged them like so fast. I was like, I'm so upset that we binged it that fast.
So did you read it in a French accent?
No. But it's you know, I first got into subtitles when I watched Peaky Blinders. Did you watch that?
No, but they talk really weird, right?
Well, they're like Irish and English.
Yeah, so Irish, they have really Irish, like thick Irish accents, right?
Thick accents, bro. Like,
thick accents.
And a lot, like, someone told me the show is phenomenal, and I tried it. So I put on episode 1, and I was like, I don't know, I'm not really into it. And then I tried it again a couple weeks later with the subtitles, and I was like, oh.
Grace is shaking her head. I think Grace has watched it before.
Uh-huh.
I don't think I've seen it. That's why there's that one Brad Pitt movie where he has a really strong accent, and I've never seen that movie because you can't understand what he's saying. What is that movie?
I want to say Valkyrie, but that's Tom Cruise, right? No.
Yeah. What is that Brad Pitt movie? I can't remember, but he has a really, really tough accent, and I can't ever watch the movie because it's so thick. But now I can watch it with the subtitles.
Yeah, retry it with the subtitles. So Grace didn't like Peaky Blinders?
No, she likes Peaky Blinders. Yeah.
Oh, she does. Here's the issue I think that you'll have is that if you guys can't start stuff till late, like after the baby goes to bed. The problem you're going to have is, like, you're going to have to watch something really violent before you go to bed. And Jen hates that. Jen does not want to watch anything violent before she goes to sleep. She'll get nightmares.
She wants to be in her zen space.
Yeah. Whenever we watch something violent, she'll always be like, can we watch, like, a episode of something funny before we go to bed?
she needs, like, a buffer between the movie and bed.
Yeah.
Oh, it's called Snatch. That's what it's called.
Oh, I don't think I've heard of that.
Yeah, it's, dude, the accents are terrible. I mean, it's so thick, I can't understand anything they're saying.
Well, this is funny. The whole, before we started recording, we talked about comedy, and then we just been talking about movies there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're supposed to be a comedy podcast, isn't it?
You can talk about whatever you want, dude. It's just, oh, okay. I haven't seen you in so long, and you look great. How old is your baby?
4.5 months.
Wow, congratulations. I don't even think I knew that you had a baby until you told me today.
18, I'm going to start doing that. 18 weeks, I'm not going to be that parent. I will never be that guy. So yeah, 4.5 months. His name is Jaden, born March 1st, 2021.
Jaden Parrish.
Jaden Parrish. Yeah, we gave him a Vietnamese middle name because, you know, Grace is Vietnamese.
That's so great.
We wanted him to have both cultures.
That's fantastic. I think that's great.
Yeah. So, babies are hard. Here's what I tell you about babies, man.
That's such a great way to go into it. But go ahead.
I'm telling you about babies. Babies aren't really that hard. It's just that you don't know what you're doing, if that makes sense. But like, as you start to figure it out, it becomes easy. So I think like, if I was to have another baby, it would be so much easier because all the things that I didn't know when we first had this baby, I would know already. Like when we first got back from the hospital that first night, dude, you're just like, literally, it's like the mama bird kicking the baby bird out of the nest and you got to figure it out or you're going to hit the ground.
Yeah.
And it's like they're crying and you don't really know what they're crying for. Now, every time he cries, I know by the way he cries what he needs. But you don't know that until like the first like 6 weeks because you don't really know what to pay attention to.
Right.
Now, baby's pretty much easy.
It's kind of like relationships too, right? Like in a way. I mean, men or women, we can both like, there's in the beginning of a relationship, there'll be like signs and you'll know what's bothering them or you'll know what they need or what will make them feel better. But you won't know that in the beginning, you know?
Right.
But if you had a second baby or relationship, I'm just kidding. If you had a second.
Well, one of the reasons why relationships are so hard is because women are so passive aggressive. Right, women are so, they don't want to just tell you what's wrong. They want you to kind of figure it out.
Yeah.
Well, you should have known. Well, I'm sorry, I didn't know I was supposed to be Dionne Warwick out here and be able to read mine.
This is why you need headphones when you podcast, because your wife is hearing all this. Anyway,
I don't hide anything from her. She's heard me on podcasts before.
That's right. But then afterwards, you're going to be like, you mad? She's going to be like, no, but she is.
Oh, I already did. Look, here's the thing about her is I know she's always mad at me. So then it's okay.
Yeah.
I never have to ask her because she's always mad.
By the way, this episode started with me already sounding bad because I was like, can you believe that was directed by a woman? And then, which is not how I meant it at all. But there is a point in stand-up comedy that I would like to make, and I just made it in a recent episode, and it makes me sound very sexist, but I'm not, okay? You know,
oh boy.
Like, okay,
oh
it,
boy.
But it makes but I, it's kind of an it's kind of an observation.
Right now?
Say what?
Should I eject right now or should I stay on the podcast?
No, you can stay. You can stay. It's nothing all bad right. Because you know you and I don't say this, and most comedians don't say this. But you know, people and even audience members, including women, will tell you that they don't think that women are as funny as men, stand-up comedy. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's true. I've seen a lot of extremely funny women in my 12 years of doing stand-up. I'm sure you have too. But I've heard it from you hear it all the time from the audience members. Like, women will come up to you and be like, oh my God, the opener, when I saw that she was a woman, I didn't think she was going to be good. But she ended up, like, you'll hear stuff like that all the time, right? And I have a theory. Okay. It's not that they're not funnier. My theory is that the best comedy is complaining. Like, the best stand-up comedy is complaining about something. Anger. Like, it's, you don't want to hear about how great life is going. That's not the best. It's not the best comedy.
No.
The best comedy is complaining. Yeah. And we don't really see that side of men very often. We don't really see them opening up and telling us their thoughts that they have about subjects They kind of keep that stuff to themselves, and they're not really good at communicating. That's a stereotype about us, is that they'll say we're not good communicators, and that's true. But when you see a stand-up comedian, it's like you're getting inside the male's point of view on certain things for a little while. Mm-hmm. And then when you hear a woman complain, it's like, I heard that shit before.
So let me think about this for a second, because... Okay.
You want to eject yourself right now?
No, because I'm thinking. Yeah, I'm thinking about how to. Okay, so let me ask you this: Why do you think women aren't funny? See, I think a lot of it is because we've heard people say all the time that women aren't funny. So it's almost like it's still a prophecy. Like, we just think women aren't funny.
Wait, where does it come from? I think it,
like, they're not funny.
I think the reason,
like, we talk about movies, right?
Yeah,
we talked about movies earlier, and people, somebody, if you hear like 20 people say this movie's really bad, if you watch the movie yourself, you're like, even though if you would have saw it with a clear slate, you might have thought it was a pretty good movie. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're like, you know.
Yeah, but I think a real problem in comedy is that women are really pushed to the front quicker because there's not as many of them. So let's say you and me won't get a TV special or get seen on anything until we're 12 years in. Mm-hmm. But a female comedian will get seen at 4 years in because there's not as many of them.
Right.
And when you have like a variety comedy show, whether it be on television or in a comedy club, you want to make sure that you have a female performer. You don't want it to be all males. So they'll always have to book a female. And the problem is, like I said, there's not as many as there are male. So they're often put into something when they're not ready. And so the world sees them, not that they're not funny, it's just they weren't ready.
Right.
You know, and compared to a male who's been doing it 12, 15 years, and then you're going to compare a female, and you're going to go, oh, women aren't funny. It's like, no. She hasn't been doing it as long.
Yeah, because I've seen some really, really... Plus, I think one thing is, like, there's so many more male comedians anyway.
Yeah.
So, like, man, you could go to a weekend and not see one female on the whole
lineup. On the whole lineup, yeah. And, like, you can probably count the famous female comedians that are stand-ups. You can probably count them. You could probably go like, boom, 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 boom. Yep, I think I got all the major ones. You know?
Here's what I think one of the problems is, too, is that I think women have to be incredible when men can be mediocre and still... And that's what I think is completely unfair. Like, for the most part, women have to be like, you know, Wanda and... But like, you have to be almost be incredible to get to that level, when we know a lot of mediocre male comedians who are
Yes, we do.
I don't think that's available, and I don't think that's available to female comedians as much as it is to male comedians.
Yeah, that's right. And I'd much rather have a funny female comic that's even been doing it 5 years than to have some of those dudes that just keep doing the same stuff. Like we were talking about before the podcast started, like the same stuff for 10 plus years. There's guys that, like, you watch yourself pass them. Did you ever notice you pass some dudes? Like, when you first started, you thought these dudes were so funny, you looked up to them. Mad respect.
Yeah.
Like, they came in the room and you would, like, open the door for them.
Like, yo, look who's here. You sit back and watch them. Nah, I sit back and watch them. And that's funny because I wonder, were they never funny, or has what I thought was funny changed?
The second one.
Yeah.
Because you'll still watch them kill sometimes.
Yeah.
To an uneducated audience that's never seen them before. And they don't really know where stand-up has evolved to. But audiences are so educated today. You got Netflix. You got YouTube. You know, every comedian has a podcast. So if there's a podcast you like, you can go like YouTube your favorite comic set. Like, you know good comedy. You know,
doesn't audience know? Are you talking about a comedian? Do you think audiences know good comedy?
Well, more than they used to is what I'm saying.
It's so subjective, though, at the same time.
That's true. It's very subjective, but I think audiences are more educated than they've ever been. I'm not saying all audiences are, but yeah. I'm saying there are more channels and you know, places for you to discover comedy. As opposed to before, you would, you know, when you travel to a small town and, you know, you get a mediocre comic and he's killing, but it's like they don't know any better.
Yeah. And that's a good point. YouTube has really, like, you can see some of the greatest comedians ever without ever leaving your house.
Yeah.
Without ever buying a ticket, you can see some of the greatest performers ever.
Brilliant writing.
So, yeah.
Brilliant writing. Yeah. And then you're going to go to a comedy club and you're watching some dude do a, you know, a Bill Clinton bit. So not only is it outdated, but it's also corny. Dude, there's dudes doing like Bush jokes still.
It was on the dress, bro. It was on the
yeah, the OJ Simpson glove bit. Yeah, dude, OJ's gonna start stand up, and you'll still be doing that bit.
That's one reason I never really like to do topical material.
Yes, because
it burns out.
It burns out. You can't use it anymore.
I try to stay away from it. Obviously, if like you're hosting or you're doing something, it's like a throwaway, fine, whatever. But, like, I never really like to do topical material because it gets burned.
Same.
But there are people that are still talking about 80s rap and 90s R&B. Remember in the 90s?
I know.
Like, what?
What was I just going to say? I think that there's a purpose for topical. Like, if you and I were Bill Burr and we had to come up with an hour every year for Netflix, I would do topical stuff because it's going to come out this year. And then next year, I got to do a new one. So that's probably fine. And I guess you and I could probably use to our advantage. Like, if we had a really good bit about something topical that everyone's dealing with right now, like if you got a good mask bit about wearing masks or a good, you know what I mean? Or a good pandemic bit.
Right, because that has legs. And that will, you can use that for years.
But what you can do with it is, right now, if you get a great recording of you doing it once in a packed club, and you throw it up on Instagram and that thing goes viral because everyone's talking about it right now, and you don't ever have to do it ever again in the club.
Yep. Yeah. One of my biggest regrets was years ago, I performed at the Laugh Factory and I did a Second Amendment joke.
Bro, write some new material.
Yeah. About like a musket and that, like, it was good. I just wrote it. And it was like one of those, oh, this is going to be good.
So why do you regret it?
Because they recorded it and they asked me to put it on the website. And I told them no. Because I was like, I just started using it. Not thinking, like you said, boy, if this goes viral, like what could have happened, right? I mean, who knows what could have happened?
Yeah.
And then I saw a commercial using the same idea behind my joke. And then I saw... So I'm like, yo, now the joke is dead.
Yeah.
People are going to think I got it from this commercial. And if I just let them use it, you know, if he got a couple hundred thousand views or something, then, you know.
Especially those Laugh Factory videos, dude. Those Laugh Factory videos get a lot of views, man.
They get a lot of views, man.
Yeah, so, you should have. I always just say, just put it out there. Just put it. I mean, as long as it's not terrible and doesn't suck, what's the worst that's going to happen? You know it sucks in about 24 hours when it's only 59 views. Just take it down.
Yeah. It was good.
And if anything, when people come out to see you live because, you know, it went viral or whatever, you're probably going to have built on it so much that they're not even going to see the version. They're going to see a better version.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I was just so dumb to think like, oh, I can't make it better. I'm use this for so long. No, dude, it was timed out. It's going to get timed out.
No such thing as bad publicity, bro.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
So what do you got coming up? Are you doing sets now that the world is kind of open again? Well, LA was open. I've been on the road a lot, so I haven't really gotten too much time to hang in the clubs, nor do I think that they want you hanging.
Right.
And now we're getting a semi-close again, so I don't know.
Yeah. I was at the Laugh Factory in Long Beach last weekend, and I'm there again, not this weekend, but next weekend. And then But like the thing, I don't just like to go to comedy clubs anymore. Like, I'm not doing it, especially with the baby, right? I got to be super careful. Like, even after my set, as soon as I do my set, I'm in the car. It was good seeing everybody. I'm out.
Yeah.
No hanging out anymore. Like, what are we doing? I have an internet show, an internet sports show with Tony Rock.
Okay, cool.
So it's on Facebook and it's on Instagram. It's called Stand Up Sports. So we have a show that comes out every 2 weeks, and it's just like we watch videos and
how long are they?
We're going to start doing sketches now that we're open back up, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Well, I mean, things are still open. Like, everything's still open indoors. They just want you to wear a mask indoors, just like before, where you had to just walk into the place with the mask. But when you sit down, you can take it off. Like,
I think it's gonna get worse, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're going down another rabbit hole.
Oh, man.
Nobody wants to get shot up. Nobody wants to get shot up, man. Nobody wants to get in the arm, man.
Oh, nobody wants to get that pokey? No, nobody.
Yeah, nobody wants to get that pokey poke in the arm.
Oh, man. But anyway, yeah, it's... I was fortunate enough to work here and there. I mean, it was nowhere near as what it should have been or as much as I'd like it to be. But in 2020, I got like maybe 4 on the road gigs. And then since February of this year, I've been like on the road, like with 1 to 2 gigs a month. And then in May, I was in Dubai for like 2 weeks.
Oh, how was that?
It was a interesting experience. It was a great experience to do stand-up comedy in Dubai. I did a, you know, 2-week tour. They kept moving you every night to a different hotel.
You were in the base? You were in the...
What's that?
Were you it was a military tour?
No. Just like a regular comedy tour, just regular audience members.
You were there with the Dubanese? What are they called there?
Dubanese? They're Arabic.
I know, but I mean, you're from Dubai. What do you call it?
Dubai is a city. The country is United Emirates.
Arab Emirates.
Yeah, you're Emiridian?
I think it's an Arab. I don't know, man. Look, I'm American. We're the worst when it comes to other countries.
I know. I thought Dubai was the country until I went there. It's the city. They speak mostly Arabic there. But you know what, dude? A lot of Brits live there.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of...
So how was the comedy scene?
Well, there's not much of a comedy scene other than this one club that booked me. And I happened to also be there the week of the Dubai Comedy Festival. So I did the festival on my nights off. But then I did the it's called the Laughter Factory, which is a Dubai comedy club. And they have a comedy club in the lobby of all these hotel rooms. And they're like 5-star hotel rooms, dude. They pay for your room. They pay for your flight. You don't pay for one single meal while you're there. Like, whatever hotel you're staying in, they tell you, go to that restaurant, you eat whatever you want, it's covered. So it was a good gig. I was super homesick. 2 weeks in another country, bro, you know, away from your wife.
And the wife didn't go with you?
No, she didn't go with me. Not only did they not cover her fare, obviously, you know, they never cover this. If you want to bring your wife, they don't want to pay for their ticket.
Yeah.
But they specifically told me do not travel with anyone. And they said there's too many reasons to mention. But when I got there, because I was thinking about buying my wife a ticket to come along with me. Mm-hmm. But they said don't. They said, first of all, it was tough enough with COVID and everything, with me having to get the test. And then you got to get a test to come back in the country, which is scary, because if you don't pass it, you're stuck in Dubai for another 2 weeks. And they said they've had too many issues with like the girlfriends, you know, going to the restaurants and eating for free too and drinking. Yeah. To tell you the truth, bro, I don't like to bring my wife on the road with me or to the comedy clubs with me for a specific reason that when I'm there, I have to really focus on my job. And when she's there, I'm always kind of worried. Is she bored? Is she in a safe place? Because you know comics. Comics will come, you know, harass your girl, hit on your girl. Or, you know, if she drinks. I don't know about you guys, but my wife drinks. I mean, she's not a heavy drinker, but when we are out of town, she likes to have a drink at the shows. And if she gets a little too drunk, I got to worry about, like, if she's, you know, talking to somebody and being all mouthy. You know what I mean? And then, like, you know, what if some guy hits on my wife and then I got to, like, yell at somebody and then I never get booked there again? There's just a number of reasons why I don't like to travel. I did just bring her to Portland and Seattle with me because, A, Portland's, like, her favorite city. And, B, when we went to Seattle, we stayed at a friend of ours' house, which is, like, another husband and wife, another couple that we get along with.
Yeah, so Grace, first of all, Grace would fall asleep unless the show's at 5 p.m. So unless the comedy show's at 5 p.m. and it's over at promptly at 5:30, she's going to be asleep.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. Like, plus another reason I don't think I bring her is my wife does not think I'm funny. So I don't even want her.
I don't like her at the shows. I talk about her a lot, and she always says this thing that she's like, let me come watch this show. I haven't seen you in a long time. I want to see your new stuff. And I always go, no, no, no. And then she goes like, why? And I'm like, because you always take it seriously. And then she's like, I won't do that. I won't do that. And then sure enough, after she hears one of my bits, so that's how you feel, huh? It's like, I told you not to take it too seriously. Everything is exaggerated for the stage. And, you know, there's that. And you know what else, dude? When we're on the road, we are roughing it. Some gigs are great where it's a five-star hotel, and I'm like, man, I wish I could have brought the wife on this one. And then some gigs, it's a really nasty hotel, and it's so bad that you want to spend as little time in it as possible. So you go down to the Starbucks, and you spend your whole day riding. Yeah. And, you know, and she wants to go sightseeing. Hey, we're in Austin. Let's do this hike. Well, there's a waterfall hike. And let's go check out this, you know, sightseeing place. And it's like, listen, I'm here for like 48 hours. I'm here to write, do my show, shower. You know what I mean? And it's like, I ain't got money. Once I start going to dinner, once I start, you know what I mean? Like, you're coming home with less money.
Now you have a loss.
Now you have a loss. And the whole point of this is not vacation. It's how you earn a living, you know?
Yeah.
You get it.
The guys always get it, but explaining that to your wife can be difficult. Well, the good thing is, like I said, Grace doesn't even care. She'd much rather, Grace is a homebody, so she'd much rather be home, which is fantastic.
Well, it works out. I mean, you guys have a baby now. Somebody's got to stay home and watch it. You'll feel safer on the road. This is horrible to compare, and I don't want to be that guy that compares a dog.
Are you comparing a baby to your dog?
Exactly what I was going to say.
It's the same. Let's compare my human being son to your 8-year-old puppy. Let's do that. Let's see this is going to be worse than the female director line that you had earlier.
Well, I got an 8-year-old pit bull who is phenomenal with people, but does not get along with other dogs. And it's a really responsible task to take him on walks, you know? And there's certain people I can leave him with, and there's certain people that I just the whole time I'll be worried, you know, I live on the second floor. Is it too hot? Did they put the AC on? Like, you know what I mean? I'm just constantly worried. I just feel better. And then I got to hire someone to watch the dog. Or if you and your wife both go, you got to hire someone to babysit. It's like, again, there's loss instead of profit. Yeah,
it's the same. Like, then I got to hire somebody to walk my kid. Like, it's, it's like the same exact thing. And, you know, my kid's not that great. I mean, he's great with people, but he's not great with other babies. So then, like...
Yeah. See, I named my dog Carmine McFly because he's Italian and Irish. I wanted him to get both cultures.
I thought you named him after Marty McFly.
He is. That really is my dog's name.
That's why you're a Back to the Future. That's why you're a Back to the Future guy.
Big Back to the Future guy. Probably one of my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah, I remember that about you.
Yeah.
Yes, I remember that about
you. So my dog's name is Carmine, which is Italian, but it's also Joe Pesci's name from A Bronx Tale. But he's only in it for a second. At the end, he becomes the boss. And then McFly is his middle name. It's on his chip, bro. If you scan my dog's little chip.
His QR code?
His QR code. Look at you. You're learning already.
caught with the callback. You know, Bronx Tale. That's the movie when the old reach, if she doesn't reach across to unlock your door, right?
Yeah. With Chaz Palminteri.
What a crock.
Yeah. So dumper. She's not the one dumper.
Jesus, man.
You know, dude, I'm running out of time, but one last thing I want to talk to you about before we go is, because I remember you were a big sneakerhead like I am. You know what, dude? I steered away from Nike the last couple of years. I'm not a big Nike dude.
What's your mouth?
So you're still heavy into the Nike?
Wait. How can you be a sneakerhead?
Yeah.
And not what other sneakerhead sneakers are there?
I'll tell you what I've gotten into. I've gotten into, you're not going to believe it, New Balance.
Wait, do they still make those?
Yes.
You know what's funny about New Balance? Let me tell you a New Balance story. Grace Parrish, who used to be Grace Wynn, when I first started dating her, I went to her house the very first time and I saw a pair of New Balance. And I said, what the hell is this? Oh, these are big shoes. That's our common female voice. What are shoes? These are awful. I immediately threw them away and I bought her a pair of Nikes. How can you be a sneakerhead? First of all, how can you be a sneakerhead and buy running shoes? Because that doesn't even make sense, because sneakerheads don't run.
They don't.
New Balance doesn't even have that many good colorways. So how can you be a sneakerhead with New Balance?
Dude, you don't know about New Balance, bro. You got to look into them. They're more than what you think. Don't get me wrong. I still own a bunch of my classic Nikes that I'll never get rid of. And I did the same thing, too, when I first started in Jen. I bought her a bunch of Nikes, you know, but... Recently, dude, first of all, New Balance are comfortable as hell, and they are good to walk. We do a lot of hikes. They are good running shoes, so I've heard. But you know what, dude? They're so, like, they've been around for so long that they make, like, those, you know, like, Nike will come out with those Nike Bruins, like, it's like, or the Nike Blazer, it's like the replica of the 80s version. That New Balance has been around so long, they're doing that, and there's really cool, like, old 80s looking New Balances with so many different colors. I got some cool yellow ones, bro. I got some, like, red, white, and blue ones. They're pretty dope, dude, I'm not gonna lie.
So, you're correct, they are.
Yeah.
They 100% are comfortable. But here's the thing about sneakerheads is that a real sneakerhead, it's about fashion, not comfort. People sacrifice comfort to look good.
No.
That's the essence.
But, okay, I have my New Balances that are for comfort that I walk and hike in. And then I have my ones that are for fashion that I only wear on stage because I don't want to get them dirty.
No such thing as New Balance for fashion.
Yes, there is, dude.
They've never created a shoe for fashion. It's never happened in the history of New Balance.
I'm going to send you three shoes. I'm gonna do like that blindfold car commercial. I'm going to send you three shoes without the logo on it. And I'm going to tell you to pick which one's the New Balance.
I'm going to have to look this up to see if there are some actual good New Balances in these streets.
They're pretty dope. There's some and you know what's the best part about them is that they're not as expensive as Nike.
How much are a pair good pair of quality sneakerhead New
Balances? Like high end ones are anywhere between like 90, maybe it'd be about 90. I'd say on the high end 90 to 110. But dude, that's for their brand new shit that's coming out. But you don't want those. You want the retro ones that look cooler.
Right.
And those are like $50, $60.
That's like, you know what that's like? That's like buying a steak from LB Big Boy. That's what you're doing right now. The high ends are $90.
It's true. It's true. That's like, remember Meet the Parents when he wanted to buy him a bottle of wine? He's like, what's the most expensive wine you got? They're like, Mums, it's $12. And he's like, he's like, that's it? They're like, you can buy a lot of them if you want.
So you know what? I'm not going to lie, though. I will say I have seen, like, I saw a pair of orange New Balance. I think they have like a red N or a yellow with a red N. They look pretty dope. I'm not gonna lie.
There's a new one I think that you're describing. They come in different colors. There's orange, and then there's one with a red, and then the other half is like gray or something with like a rubber back or something like that.
Yeah. So
those will be like 90 or 110.
Ooh.
Bro, there's a website called Joe's New Balance Outlet. Okay. And you can find some Nikes, and I find like all the retro ones on there, and they have my sizes. And they're like,
yeah, but you have a little foot though. What's your foot?
No, I don't. I wear a 12, dude. Which, I mean, for me,
oh, you have the most. That's 12 and 10 is the most popular size, I think.
Is it?
Yeah, I'm 13, so that's very rare.
Oh, so it's hard for you, yeah. But see, you're tall though. I think for my height, it's a pretty big foot. Like I go between 11 and a half or 12.
You're 5'9".
On a good day, bro.
Yeah, you got some big ass feet to be a short motherfucker.
Dude, you know what's funny? I actually went down a shoe size when I lost all that weight. You remember me when I was big.
Yeah, dude. I'm happy for you, man.
Thank you. You were a big motherfucker. I was a big dude.
Yeah, you're a big boy, man.
Thank you, bro. You do too. I was like 250 at one point, and right now I'm 180. I'd like to get back down to 170. Yeah. I'm trying to go back down to that. So yeah, dude, that's what's going on. But dude,
look at that, man! You've lost a whole human. You lost a nice sized toddler, man.
Yeah. Well, the good thing is like that's been over 5 years since I was that heavy, so I've kept it off. Yeah. It's just maintaining. Like I promised myself I would never go over 200 again, and during the pandemic I got like 190 something. So I was like, I had to do something. So like towards the back end of the pandemic, I lost a bunch again, like another 10. But I'd like to get down.
Oh man, we're hitting close to the time, man.
Well, yeah, I got to prepare because I got another one coming up. I'm actually having on the lady who owns the comedy club in Dubai, so it's 9 o'clock in the morning for her, which is why I'm doing it so late.
I was like, who does a podcast at 10 o'clock at night? So are you going to change your shirt, or are you going to use the same shirt, and then people are going to be like, how many podcasts is he filming today?
I think I'm going to change my shirt. I might even put a little hat on. I'm going to go put on some – I got a nice little New Balance hat. But it's great to see you, dude. I hope that we're on the same lineup or something soon. So not this weekend, but next weekend you're in Long Beach Laugh Factory.
Yeah, I'm in Long Beach Laugh Factory. I don't remember the time or the date because I'm unprofessional. I'm in the Long Beach Laugh Factory Friday at 7:45.
And where's the best place for people to keep in touch with all of your shows? So like Instagram or Facebook?
Yeah, you can go to Instagram. It's Rico Parrish, 2 C's, 2 R's. So RICCOPARRISH. And that will also have the links to the sports show that I do too on Instagram or Facebook. I just started social media. So, like, literally, I had my wife running the account in the beginning because, like I said, I know nothing about technology.
That's
the
way
it goes. How do you post something?
Good, man.
Meanwhile, I got this random people DMing me, and she's like, this fat girl DM'd you and asked what you were up to.
Yeah.
So, ladies, use the burner phone if you're going to DM me out there.
It happens.
Man, good to see you.
It's great to see you too, dude. Everybody, don't forget, I'm in Vegas August 2nd through the 8th. I'm there the whole week at the Stratosphere. All tickets are available at homeschoolpod.com. Click on tour. Don't forget to pick up a t-shirt. Click on merch when you guys come out to these shows. And you're already rocking a shirt that makes us feel good. So that's it, man. Make sure you keep it.
Old president's shirt.
The ex-president, the old president's. This episode was brought to you by New Balance and Old Presidents.
And the Old Presidents. All right, man. Have a good one.
You too. Thank you to your wife for letting us do this so late at night and dealing up with all the...
Hey, I'm the boss here.
Okay, whatever you want to say, bro.
I'm the boss here. Yeah.
Whatever you want to say, dude. Right now, the baby's the boss.
Yeah, that's good. Touché, my friend. Touché.
Thank you both for your time. I know that it's time consuming, and go watch Bob's Burgers. And
all right, well,
dude, watch Inception, dude. Watch Inception. That's your homework until the next time I have you on.
Watch Bob's Burgers.
I will. I promise you. All right, dude. I'll see you.
All right. Later.
Later.
That's my guy right there, man.
All right, that was Rico Parrish. Awesome dude. I love that guy. I haven't seen him or talked to him in so long, so it was wonderful to catch up. And I want to have him on again. We should do a whole nother episode of like a list of bad movies that you love watching. I think that's a great topic. I think it's something that Kevin Lyons would absolutely love to be a part of too. We'll get the three of us on together to do another one, a part two of these. Speaking of part twos, if you guys heard the last episode with Nate, we were going to do a part, it's comedy tips part one, so we're going to do a part two, and I'm recording that with him later this week, so that will be coming out this week. And we're going to go through some of the basics of comedy that you want to keep in mind, plus how to build an hour set. We're still doing that, so stay tuned for part two. If you're not subscribed to this podcast, please do already. And if you haven't already subscribed on YouTube, please do that. We need to get those numbers up. My YouTube is kind of slow, so please, if you like watching the podcast, go watch them on YouTube. And you can see this furry hair and my little acne I'm getting today. I'd be sweating because it's so hot, so I'm getting like acne and stuff. But anyway, I hope I see you guys at one of the shows after Vegas. I'll be in Paso Robles. I'm returning there again. This time I'm bringing Jimmy Schubert with me. We're co-headlining August 12th, Paso Robles. And then August 14th, you can see me and Lee Syatt. I'm going to have Lee Syatt open the show in Boston, Massachusetts. Again, these are all limited seating, you guys, so make sure you get your tickets at homeschooledpod.com. Click on tour. I want to remind everybody that only love can save the world. I'm Augustino Zoida. This is Homeschool Podcast. Peace.
Homeschool Podcast.
Homeschool.
The Homeschool Podcast. Why? Because it was homeschooled.
I don't want to do that.
No, okay.
I don't want to do that at all.